This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The Department of Justice Inspector General says James Comey violated department and FBI policies.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The OIG determined that Comey violated applicable policies in his FBI employment agreement by providing one of the unclassified memos that contained official FBI information, including sensitive investigative information, to his friend, with instructions for the friend to share the contents of the memo with a reporter.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Additionally, the OIG determined that Comey, while FBI director, kept copies of four of the seven memos in a personal safe at his home, and after his removal as FBI director, violated FBI policies and his FBI employment agreement by failing to notify the FBI that he had retained them or to seek authorization to retain them.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, this is breaking news, and that is the Inspector General's much-anticipated report is now out. I'm holding a copy of it in my hands, about 70 pages thick. This is just on one issue. So this 70-page report is on one aspect of this case, and the one aspect is the issue of James Comey's leaking of the memos. Now, you recall earlier this month, the Department of Justice said they're not going to prosecute Comey on that issue criminally. What is interesting here is the report concludes that James Comey's retention, handling, and dissemination of these memos violated department and FBI policies as well as his FBI employment agreement. The investigation, the report describes the investigation of the Inspector General regarding this issue. Again, just the issue of the memos. And then it defines a number of memos. And let me talk to you about those. So memo number one is a memo of the president's, James Comey's first meeting with the president, which occurred on January 6th, 2017 at Trump Tower, part of a briefing of the president-elect on intelligence. The second memo, memo two, involves Comey's dinner with the president on January 27th, 2017. Memo three, Comey's interactions at the West Wing earlier that afternoon with then-Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, and then security advisor Michael Flynn and President Trump. You have memo number four. These were all memos that were that he'd kept. So that's why I'm telling you what's in these memos. It's very important to understand this. The memo was regarding James Flynn. It was a two-page memo regarding his interactions in the Oval Office that day in a multi-person briefing. These meetings occurred one day after Michael Flynn resigned as President Trump's national security advisor. Memo five was a four-line email to Rubicki. Remember, that was his chief of staff, memorializing a telephone call he had with the president that day. Then another memo, number six, was a 10-minute call with the president. And this is, he has information about his conversations with the president. Comey, who had, this is what's important here. James Comey took these memos, and some of them went to the press, one of them in particular. But he took these memos outside of the FBI. He took them home. I mean, there are a whole host of things that were done here that isn't appropriate. Now, it did not, this was a declination, though, of prosecution. They decided not to prosecute James Comey on this issue. This doesn't address all the other issues that are being investigated right now. It's just on this. But the fact that he avoided prosecution doesn't mean he was exonerated, to use a phrase that goes around a lot these days. In fact, to the contrary, the FBI Office of Inspector General has found that James Comey violated the department and FBI's policies and his FBI employment agreement, and they're crystal clear on that.
What is so interesting to me is that Jim Comey is trying to do a victory lap for not being indicted on this one single issue when he knows that FISA report is also out there being done by an inspector general. And on this memo, the fact that he violated the rules, leaked information, and he's doing a victory lap on that, that's not higher honor. You know, just go, Jim Comey, just go back to the woods and stare up at the trees, because I think the U.S. has had enough of you. But we'll see what's in that FISA report as well. I wouldn't be doing victory laps if I was Jim Comey right now.
You know what? Even the media is not buying his victory laps. Nope. It's just, they're all calling it a scathing report on James Comey's activities and behavior. We come back from the break. We're joined by Than Benner, Director of Government Affairs, getting his reaction. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Don't forget the matching challenge campaign at the ACLJ, aclj.org.
We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
You remember this comment from James Comey, number 6.
I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
So there you go, and it did. And that memo is the subject of a 60-page Inspector General's report, which concludes that James Comey violated Department and FBI policies and his FBI employment agreement. Comey, who had the original, this is important to understand the findings here. James Comey is saying that he's carried the day because he stayed one step ahead of an indictment. I mean, that's really what this is. I mean, my friend Andrew McCarthy was just on Fox talking about this. I'm going to be on with Sean Hannity on radio and TV tonight. But here's what happened. This is what they're saying. This is the actions. Comey's actions violated Department or FBI policy and the terms of his employment agreement. As described in this report, we conclude that James Comey's retention, handling, and dissemination of certain memos violated Department and FBI policies and his FBI employment agreement. Now, those memos involve conversations he had with the President of the United States, Mr. Responsible to a Higher Calling, is what his book's entitled. This sure doesn't represent that. That's number one. Number two, they found that Comey's improper disclosure of memos for its content, that's the one that went through his lawyer to a reporter, was a violation. Comey's improper disclosure of memos 2, 4, 6, and 7 to his attorneys was also a violation. Comey's failed to immediately alert the FBI to the unauthorized disclosure of classified information. The memos were, in fact, FBI records. Remember when I said he typed it on his FBI computer? He did it on his FBI vehicle. This was FBI property, and he's keep carrying it at home. So I think that what this points to is the fact that James Comey knowingly violated the rules and policies of the FBI, separate from a criminal issue. This is the former FBI director was found by the inspector general to engage in behavior that was not professional and violating the FBI's policies. Let's not forget that. As more, this is just, by the way, this is one slice of the pie. This is one small slice of the pie. There's a lot more coming.
I was going to ask you about that. This is actually unique that the inspector general did a report just on Jim Comey and his seven memos, that he didn't include this in the larger Russia report that he's
correct.
Doing. He did a Jim Comey memo report.
That's right.
It may not have led to criminal charges here, but we have to remind everyone there is the big report coming on the origins of the Russian investigation,
yep,
on the FISA warrants that Jim Comey would have signed off on. And I think, you know, again, it was unprecedented already to have a specific IG report,
yes,
on just the FBI director's memos, and then specifically the memo that he took pictures of and leaked to his friend.
100%.
Second, I would say this. It completely justifies President Trump's decision to fire James Comey and for no one to ever hire James Comey again in his career.
That's correct.
Because he's not trustworthy.
No.
He answered to Hillary Clinton
was wrong.
Right.
With the way he came out and came back and all that whole nonsense that he did violating FBI.
And it was
guy is like a pattern of violating FBI policies and protocols.
The Wiener computer was the same emails they already had, yet they dragged it out until 3 days before the election, damaging Hillary Clinton. We can be bipartisan in that because Jim Comey doesn't answer to a higher calling. Jim Comey answers to Jim Comey. He thinks he's God. He thinks he's the greatest. That's why someone like him can do a victory lap today because he's not going to be heading to jail count.
It's a faux. Well, first of all, that's right. So he's not being indicted on this. That doesn't mean anything else. All right, so Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, you've seen the report. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I've been through the whole entire report, Jay. I would give you two quick reactions, although there's a lot here. The first one is the one that Jordan just touched on. Jay, I think if any of the thousands of employees of the FBI had done what James Comey did, they would have been terminated on the spot. Therefore, it's justification for the director's firing, certainly. The second one, Jay, he's hiding behind this idea that none of them were deemed secret classification. Well, two of them were classified as confidential, and all of them were classified as for official use only, which means he can't disseminate them, Jay. And just real quickly, on page 53 of this report, the Inspector General finds that Comey's own statements and actions demonstrate the inherently governmental nature of the memos he wrote in Memo 2, which is one of the ones he retained, that he was attempting to recount in some detail only those parts that related in some way to his work. So, Jay, if he was only recording in the memo those things that pertain to his work, then how could these be personal documents like a will or a diary, which he claimed is why he kept them?
Well, I said it. I mean, how long ago did I say that? A year and a half ago? He did it on his FBI computer and his FBI vehicle. It was FBI material. And, you know, that the latter day attempt to try to negate that, just to me, in my mind, it falls absolutely. It's a false victory lap if that's what he's taking. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, Yvonne in Michigan on line one. I expect people are going to have a lot of questions about this. So yep. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. This is one of those shows we can take a lot of phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, to answer your questions. I'm sure most of you have not had time to go through this full report. Yvonne, you are on the air.
Yes. My question is, or my stance on this is, whatever they find Jim Comey doing wrong, he's not going to be charged. I don't care if they do more investigation. You know, it's a double standard here. Every time they find something wrong or somebody doing something wrong, they don't get charged.
So let me go over a couple of points on this, Yvonne, because I understand the frustration. So here, a couple of points. Number one, this is not a criminal. The Inspector General recommended that it be sent over to the Department of Justice for potential prosecution. DOJ declined. They declined because they said they gave a number of reasons, including the preponderance of evidence if they went to trial and those kind of things, issues involving culpability. This is one small slice of the. This doesn't touch the FISA abuse. This is just the leaking of the memos. But let me tell you what the legal conclusion is. The IG doesn't get to bring charges. He can recommend he doesn't get to bring. This is what it said. The memos were FBI records, of course. For the above reasons, we conclude that the memos are official FBI records as defined by the statute, regulations, department, and FBI policies, and by James Comey's own FBI employment agreement. Because they are official FBI records, Comey was required to handle the memos in compliance with all applicable department and FBI policies and the terms of his employment agreement, and then they concluded that he violated department and FBI policies and his employment agreement by the way he handled it. Now, that does not mean it rise to the level, at least for the purposes of the Department of Justice making the determination as to criminal culpability. Personally, I think that this is, I mean, look, I can't put myself in the shoes of the prosecutor making the line decision, but my goodness, you look at this situation and you say to yourself, this is clearly a violation of the law. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is.
I would have looked at
it's a violation of the law.
I would have looked at the totality of the circumstances. So you get this report. You don't need to rush to judgment about filing charges. Get this report. Take the information that's there. Do your investigation as a prosecutor. Wait for the next report. Then put it in total. So don't start making claims that you're not going to prosecute this specific act when you haven't seen the full picture yet from the inspector general. So for me, I mean, it's always about the totality of the circumstances when you're dealing with these situations as a prosecutor. Do you have, when you put it all together, a strong case to make? So even if you felt like, okay, this might not be enough standing alone, which I disagree with, I think Jim Comey could have been prosecuted and probably found guilty based off this information, especially because of what it led to. It led to the special counsel. It led to 2 years of the president being investigated for something Jim Comey and Peter Strzok and the FBI knew he didn't do. They already knew that. So I think a real prosecutor would have said, I'll take this report, but the IG is not done, so I'm going to withhold judgment on bringing charges against Jim Comey and his colleagues until I see everything else. For instance, Dad, I mean, we always talk about how we're taking action at the ACLJ. In July, just this July, we filed a new FOIA request seeking records about Jim Comey and the communications with or records regarding the spies that he put in the White House, Anthony Ferranti, Jordan Ray Kelly. These were the people Comey planted in the White House in the National Security Council to spy for him, and to Sheena Gower, who may even still be working there. Now, that kind of information is not going to be in the seven memos. That's going to be in the bigger report from the IG. We were just getting this information in July of 2019. Why is a prosecutor, I understand people's upset. I understand why the president would be upset too. Why would a prosecutor jump ahead with these decisions not to prosecute? Why would they follow the Jim Comey method, which is you lay it all out there and then say,
do nothing.
And do nothing. And especially in this case, when you know there's a mega report coming. I mean, I think it's fair to call it a mega report.
Yeah.
If we're still able to file new FOIAs in July about spies in the White House placed by Jim Comey.
Which we're about to initiate. You know, I authorized today the filing of a lawsuit on that.
Yes, because they didn't respond to our FOIA.
Right.
So now we go to court. Imagine what the IG has got on that. And again, the IG can only, he recommended this be viewed, looked at for prosecution. He could have said, I don't think it is, but it's up to you prosecutors. He actually recommended this for, to be reviewed for possible prosecution.
All right, don't forget the ACLJ. We're in the final days of our matching challenge. Yesterday, boy, we had a great time at that concert last night and a great response from you. If you've donated the ACLJ, thank you. But again, we're in the last few days of this matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org for that. People also have been calling in their pledge. They can do that as well.
That's right. So if you want to make your donation by phone, you can absolutely do that. You call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255, and you can be part of the matching challenge. That's 877-989-2255. Remember, it only goes till the end of August. You double the impact of your donation. Donate now, ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. For those of you who are on Facebook and Periscope, you saw a Fox News interview I did on Fox and Friends early this morning. We've shared that on social media as well. It's about that great victory out of Vermont, Vermont University Hospital, which was unfortunately put a nurse in a horrendous situation where she was forced to perform an elective abortion against the federal law that protects her conscience rights. You have the former head of Planned Parenthood New England is the board chair of the hospital, changed the rules in 2017, and we fought back. And by fighting back, we found four additional clients just in this hospital.
Yeah.
Just in this hospital. And we're now creating a whole campaign, which will launch soon, so that doctors and nurses, you can already contact our legal help page.
Of course.
But for doctors, nurses, and medical professionals who may also be feeling this pressure or aren't hired specifically and are told, we can't hire you if you're not going to perform abortions. We need to hear from you because we've got an HHS who is the enforcement mechanism here. There isn't a private right of action. So HHS has to take the action. This administration, for the first time ever, since the law was passed in 1973, it's interesting, it's called the Church Act. People think it has to do with Christians' conscience. It's because the senator was named Senator Church. He's from Idaho, far left liberal. But when Roe versus Wade was decided, he wanted to make sure, and so did Congress, that medical professionals were never forced to perform an abortion procedure against their religious conscience or their personal conscience. And yet it was never enforced by HHS until yesterday.
This is a good reason to support the work of the ACLJ. Yeah. I mean, we're going to get back to the James Comey issue in a moment, but I think it would have been derelict in our duties to not talk about what happened yesterday because it was such a big issue. But let me just say this. Your support of the ACLJ lets us do that. You have four new clients. We're going to have dozens more, which is great.
Like
that's
like
what
the
we
tea
do.
Party thing coming,
it is. That, you know, that we talked, we referenced that yesterday. The Tea Party case started as one, then it was three, and then all of a sudden it was 40. I mean,
so we're already at five clients now.
Yeah. So... and that's just at that hospital.
Just at that hospital. I want to make sure people understand this. We can only do this, and these people can only fight back because we don't charge for our services. I mean, they're already worried about their job in this situation. These are tough fighters like the Tea Party folks who are willing to take on these
entities. We got a great note from the nurse, though.
Absolutely,
nice note.
And this morning, too. That was really great. And their her father, I think, too.
Yeah.
And so we appreciate that. She's remaining anonymous by probably watching our broadcast.
Yep.
All of you should thank her for standing up because she now has got four more people who will be treated, who will not be put in the position like that.
What I keep saying is people need to understand. Harry, we talked, we'll get back to James Comey in a minute, but this is important. We talked about this yesterday. This is a law that was on the books since 1973. It's before I was out of law school. I don't know what year you graduated law school. What were you?
86.
Okay. So we were not even out of law school yet.
I was not alive.
You were not. I was not married to your mother yet. I mean, I was in high school. This law's been around since, Richard Nixon and certainly during Ronald Reagan and during H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. And nothing. We could never get them to apply it, and here they finally did.
Absolutely. So this law illustrates the absence of will on the part of successive administrations, both Democrat and Republican, to enforce not only religious freedom, but precise statutory language that is on the books. And so this is a very, very important victory. It sets a precedent going forward. And I certainly hope that our listeners who are involved in similar situations will contact us in the future.
We do have a team of lawyers. Yeah. I mean, you know, Frank Mannion, Jeff Surtees, Ed White, Eric Zimmerman. We got a whole team of lawyers that are really experts at this. And we've got cases involving doctors at major healthcare facilities. We got doctors at major universities that we represent on these kind of matters. So we've got a real expertise in this area. And like I said, I know the James Comey Inspector General report's breaking news. We're going to get to that in the second half hour of the broadcast. We'll get back into that. But I wanted to take a moment here, first of all, to thank you for your response yesterday, which was really, really significant. We had a great day, and thank you for that. Now, we're, as we said, and Jordan's going to talk about this in a minute, we're in the closing, we call it the closing hours here of our matching challenge camp?
Because we've already added four more clients. Now we have five total with just this one university's position on the conscience clause. We have the HHS ready to act and investigate under the Trump administration and Secretary Azar for the first time in history. We have a team of expert attorneys that these individuals would not be able to afford on their own to do this kind of case because there's not a private right of action. You need a client and you need the federal government to step in and do the work, like cutting the funding, which is what this hospital is on the path for getting because they're not complying with the investigation. So they'll lose about $1.6 million in funding every 3 years. This is something that could happen nationwide, but we need your support because we're going to have a lot of lawyers committed to this. We don't charge our clients. We do all this work for them at absolutely no cost. That means doing the investigation, which was major investigation here, then providing that evidence to HHS, so a government federal agency department, all of that at no cost to the client, protecting the client throughout the entire matter and their anonymity, and making sure justice is done. And what justice is here is that another nurse or doctor never has to step into a room and be lied to, as this nurse was, about what procedure they're about to have to help perform. And in this case, the exact quote from the doctor to this nurse was, "Don't hate me." She thought she was going in, that there had been, unfortunately, a miscarriage. And, you know, a lot of these abortion procedures exist for miscarriages. It's to remove, you know, if the child has unfortunately died in the womb. That's why these abortion procedures.
Not really an abortion at that point.
Right, but that's why they exist in the first place, the actual procedure. They turned them into abortion procedures to kill living children. So she walks in, the doctor says, "Don't hate me for this. This is an elective abortion, an abortion for no medical purpose, no life of the mother, nothing." And she had to make the call right there. And she thought that based off her medical duty, even with the conscience clause protection, that if she had left and somehow someone was on the table and all these different variables, they set her up basically. They set her up to have to perform a procedure, which she believed was the killing, and we believe is the killing of a human life. So because of her, those four other individuals will not be placed in that situation at that university. We're going to expand this so that we want to hear from others who may have been in this situation before, doctors too, and other medical professionals, maybe nurses' assistants who have to be there as well. They get conscious protections as well. But it takes resources. It takes major resources to work through this with the client, to do the investigation. You're working against major entities like hospitals that are being run by former Planned Parenthood CEOs, which I have a feeling we're going to find out that happens a lot more across the country as well. We need your support to do this. Let's make sure it's not just about this one nurse that we were able to maybe get justice for, even though she had to go through the horrible process, and the four others that were identified. Let's make sure this becomes a nationwide effort to really make the conscience clause mean something. Let's make sure it means something. It should have meant something since 1973. This administration is willing to go to bat. We've got to have the clients so that they can do the work they need to do at HHS. Support the work of the ACLJ. We need your donations. We need your financial support. We always need your prayers. We always need you signing petitions, speaking out, standing up, listening to the broadcast, getting educated. Right now, we really need your financial support. Donate to the ACLJ today, and your donation is doubled. That's only through the end of the month of August. Donate today, and your donation is doubled. You double the impact. We need your support financially. Donate ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so the Office of Inspector General has issued its report of the investigation of former FBI Director James Comey's disclosure of sensitive investigative information and handling of certain memoranda. Now, that's all this covers. It's thick. It's an inch thick, but it's just the memo leak. Here's what they concluded. The report concludes that Comey's retention, handling, and dissemination of certain memos violated department and FBI policies and his FBI employment agreement. Our director of policies here, Professor Harry Hutchinson. So, Professor Hutchinson, what's your read looking at this report? What's your takeaway here?
Well, number one, I am frustrated, and I share the listener's frustration with respect to the failure in this particular case to go after Comey perhaps more directly. However, we should note that the issuance of this report suggests beyond question that James Comey violated bureau policy and that he set a dangerous example for rank-and-file FBI workers. Why? Because he retained and he leaked confidential and in some cases classified information that detailed private conversations with President Trump. And so the Department of Justice, through the Inspector General, is, I think, correct in criticizing him for this conduct. Second, the report was referred to the DOJ for potential prosecution earlier this summer, but the prosecutor declined to file charges despite overwhelming incriminating evidence. But I would say, add thirdly, that this report blows a hole in James Comey's defense of himself and his claims that he is responsible to a higher loyalty. It is all about James Comey at the end of the day. That is the only person he is loyal to. He's not loyal to the DOJ and its policies. He did not comply with this employment agreement, and he did not comply with FBI policies. That is clear beyond question, despite James Comey's current denials.
So his basically what he's saying, Harry, is I won because I didn't get indicted.
Exactly.
That's his defense. I didn't get indicted, therefore I won.
It should be yet. Because he knows another IG report is coming. Listen, I think we all agree that a case could have been made against Jim Comey based off this report. I would have hoped that the Department of Justice waited till they got the entire Inspector General's report. I think that would have been a lot more
You'd
powerful.
Have a better picture of what it is.
Full picture. Because we know this was the impetus to get the Russia special counsel. But that was separate from the Russia investigation.
Do you realize what nonsense all of this is, folks? I mean, can I say something for a moment? I've been dealing with this for 2.5 years. Does this not show you, they didn't go criminally prosecute him, but they found he violated all the FBI rules and regulations. This was the guy that wanted the special counsel appointed. What president has had to put up with this kind of nonsense, which is what this is? Nonsense. What's the reaction right now in Washington, Than?
Well, Senator Graham has said it's a stunning and unprecedented rebuke of a former director of the FBI. Jay, I really hope every elected official reads page 33 of this report, though, because you and Harry and Jordan are talking about violations. Let me just summarize for you very quickly one of those violations. After James Comey was fired on May 9th, 2017, the FBI set about to collect back the records that James Comey had. Jay, he kept four memos, which have now been found to be federal records, memos 2, 4, 6, and 7, locked in a personal safe. It never occurred to him that he should give those back to the FBI because he thought they were personal documents like a will. But here's the kicker, Jay. They were personal documents like a will, but then he used them for an official purpose to try to get a special counsel appointed. I would echo what Jordan said. He didn't get indicted yet.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Hey, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We got a matching challenge campaign. You can also phone in. People are asking about that. We normally don't give that number, but we will.
For matching challenge, we will. For those of you who would rather make your donation by phone, feel more comfortable doing that, you absolutely can and still be part of the matching challenge. Your donation will be doubled. Call our toll-free number right now. We need your financial support, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or donate online, ACLJ.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
That's 800-684-3110. Here's some of the holdings. I think this is important. When James Comey was removed as FBI director, Comey still had copies of memos 2, 4, 6, and 7 in his personal safe at home. After being removed as director, Comey did not report to the FBI that he had copies of these memos. Comey subsequently provided his copies of memos 2, 4, 6, and 7 to the Office of Special Counsel Robert Mueller on June 7, 2017. So he gave them to Bob Mueller, but he didn't give them to the FBI or let the FBI know he still had them. Then Comey did not seek authorization from the FBI before providing memos 2, 4, 6, and 7 to his attorneys. Then Comey instructed Richmond and one of his other attorneys to share the contents of the memo, memo 4, but not the memo itself, with a specific reporter for the New York Times. Comey did not seek FBI authorization before providing the contents of a memo through the lawyer to a reporter. This was a memo of a conversation he had with the president of the United States. Harry, that kind of gets overlooked in this. These are conversations he had with the president.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we should keep in mind is James Comey owed a duty to the FBI. He owed a duty to the DOJ. He actually should have complied with his employment agreement. And it's clear beyond a question that he owed a duty of at least respect to the President of the United States, who had the power to terminate him and who was justified in terminating James Comey. I think if you look at the IG's report, it is littered with evidence which suggests that James Comey complied with only one authority. That was the authority that he made up. In other words, James Comey acted as a law unto himself, and I think it's good for the American people that he is no longer in an official capacity.
I am going to be taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Aisha calling in from Illinois online, too. Aisha, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, I'd just like to know, thank you for taking my call, but can he possibly lose his pension for this?
Well, it's an interesting question because they said he violated his employment agreement, so I've thought about that. I mean, what is the impact on the employment agreement with regard to if you breach your employment agreement, what does that have to do with your retention for your retirement? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what the employment laws are.
I go back to McCabe was like, he missed it by like a date.
He didn't vest, automatic
vesting,
I think.
Even though he was going to get fired.
Yes.
And even if he would have been fired, like a week later, he still would have gotten his pension, I think. So Comey may have worked there long enough
that you qualify anyways.
That he qualified even though he was fired. And Now, the question would be is...
Because he could be fired, but doesn't well, not necessarily, because the president could, of course, have the constitutional right to fire James Comey.
Right.
He had the constitutional right, by the way, and based on these reports, he had constitutional reasons.
And McCabe was fired by the FBI directly.
Yeah.
At a recommendation of personal responsibility the day before he vested. So a lot of that's timing. I think, again, the bigger picture here, and it's worth being upset about, is that Jim Comey is doing a dance right now. One, I'd like to hear like Hillary Clinton. I can't imagine she's so happy about this.
Yeah, but I wonder what kind of dance he's really doing, because he's not.
A lot of him
James
is
Comey
phony.
Is not stupid. He knows that this stuff is still. There's a lot of investigation
his
still
tweets
coming.
Are not from him. His tweets use his own name in the tweets. They're from his lawyers. So when you tweet like Jim Comey is not DOJ IG found no evidence that Comey or his attorneys released any of the classified. You wouldn't tweet that from your own account if you were tweeting.
I got it.
You know what I mean?
He's
quoting himself. He's quoting his own name. So these are carefully crafted. Like,
well, they have to be, because he knows what's coming.
Now he's asking for a public apology.
But he says, I don't need one.
But a quick message would be nice.
Yeah.
So he does actually want a
message.
Public
let me give you a quick message. I'll give you a quick message.
Hopefully see you in court.
Here's the quick message. The Department of Justice concludes that James Comey's retention, handling, and dissemination of certain memos violated Department and FBI policies and his FBI employment agreement. There's my short message.
You are a bad FBI director, Jim Comey.
Bad cop.
And that's how we'll remember you.
Yeah. No, that's right. I mean, so then again, I asked, you get it, you got reaction from Senator Graham. What else do we got?
I think they think that James Comey is engaging in distraction, Jay. I mean, he wants to talk about how none of them had the secret classification. Well, here's the top line takeaway that members of Congress should focus on. Two of them were classified as confidential and subject to federal law retention. All of them were deemed for official use only and subject to federal attention. He hid them in his safe, did not request permission to keep them, did not tell them he kept them, and then leaked them for an official purpose. I think he's trying to distract you from that. And Jay, one other quote I would read to you from the report. It's on page 61. Officials who are described as his senior leadership team, which in other places of the report, that refers to people like Andrew McCabe, James Verbicki, James Baker, Lisa Page, they say that the closest advisors use the words, quote, surprised, stunned, shocked, and disappointment to describe their reactions to learning what Comey had done. Jay, those are people who are willing to use their official purposes for political purposes, and this even shocked them.
Yeah, Andy McCarthy said this. Take a listen.
If somebody in Comey's agency had done what he did, he'd have terminated him in nothing flat.
So there you have it. So this is not a win for James Comey. I mean, Harry, I think that's a, you know, he's trying to spin it a little. He's being very careful because he knows there's other investigations going on here. But he violated FBI policies, and he did that, by the way, with the Hillary Clinton investigation. He did it with this memo. He has a pattern of violating FBI rules and regulations. A serial violator of regulations and policies of the FBI.
I think you're precisely correct. And so, again, if we look at page 61 of the report, the IG states as follows. We have previously faulted Comey for acting unilaterally and inconsistent with department policy. Comey's unauthorized disclosure of sensitive law enforcement information about the Flynn investigation merits similar criticism. In a country built on the rule of law, it is of utmost importance that all FBI employees adhere to department and FBI policies, particularly when confronted by what appear to be extraordinary circumstances or compelling personal convictions. Comey had several other lawful options, for instance, available to him to advocate for the appointment of a special counsel, which was his goal in making these disclosures. But, of course, he chose an unlawful option.
It is mind-boggling what happened here. I mean, I keep going back to that. It's mind-boggling. All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Whitney called in from Texas Online 4. Whitney, welcome to JSecio Live. You're
talking
on the air.
About the, this is a, our, Whitney's talking about the HHS win we had yesterday. Go ahead, Whitney.
Yeah, thanks so much. Sure. I just wanted to let you guys know this is already having a ripple effect in my family.
Okay.
I've got a senior in high school who is applying to nursing schools, and we've had the conversation. You're going to be in situations that challenge your conscience. You're going to be in situations that might even violate your ethics. How are you going to handle that? And last night we were able to have the conversation, hey, there is a precedent for you to be federally protected.
100%.
And so she's feeling a lot more confident going into her field. We also have an aunt in the family who is a surgical nurse in California who has been denied employment before because she's made it clear in the interview process, I won't perform abortions. And in the past, they've said, thanks, but no thanks.
All right. Guys, put the legal helpline number. I want to make sure we give that to Whitney. We don't have to give it out right now over the air. Because if her aunt wants to contact us about, you know,
everything, just go to ACLJ.org. Contact is the best way to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Because, again, this is what we were talking about. People being denied employment because they told their surgical nurse, highly trained, and said, you know, but I have a conscious objection to performing abortion. And by the way, there's a federal law that protects her, and you cannot decide not to hire that person based off their decision not to perform abortions. That's the same kind of violation. Whitney, what you're talking about is great because now your daughter knows that she has a federal law protecting her. It's not just an idea. It's not just like a rule or precedent even. It is a federal law that is now being enforced. So in a sense, you had a law that sat there since 1973. Now it's being enforced. So you get the law plus the precedent. And so, Whitney, that is great news for you. I mean, this is already having effects. You see, people are hearing about this.
This is exactly why we do this.
You've got the aunt who did not get hired. She's a surgical nurse, so very high-level nurse.
Yep.
Because she said, I will not perform abortions. She can go to ACLJ.org, Whitney, and contact us. We could help her out. That's what we want to do with this. And, folks, we want to build a huge campaign. This is another battle for life. It's like, you know, sometimes you think you're fighting every battle you can for the pro-life cause. And a completely new door opens up.
Yeah.
And it was our very smart legal team in the pro-life that works on pro-life cases that opened this door. Frank Mannion, who I was emailing back and forth with until I think about 3 in the morning last night about this case, going back and forth because I knew I was going to go on Fox in the morning and wanted to make it as succinct as possible so that people that heard this understood their protection. Let's take this to the next level, folks. But to do it, got to have your financial support.
Let me tell you something. This was a monumental win for the ACLJ. You beat back the IRS, that was a monument. When you get HHS to insist that conscious rights be protected, these are major wins. We are in the last hours of our matching challenge campaign. You can make a huge difference. Let me encourage you right now. Go to ACLJ.org. When you go to ACLJ.org, you make an online contribution. Whatever amount you donate, $10, $20, it gets doubled. We have someone that's matching that gift. So ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, final hours of that matching challenge. We had a great day yesterday. It really helped us. We're about 3% ahead of where we were last year. We'd always like to be about 5 to 7% ahead, so we're on our way. No question about it. But your support makes a big difference. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. You can still call in your donations. We don't give that number often, but on a time like this, we will. 877-989-2255 or the easiest way, ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, we're taking your calls. Last segment, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Scott is calling from South Carolina on line one. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? My question is this. As a state employee who hires people, there's questions I'm not allowed to ask. If this is a federal law that you can't not hire someone for this conscientious, why do you ask the question, or why are they allowed to ask the question in the first place?
So what would come up is in the course of an interview, I'm not sure that they are supposed to be asking the question. I think you're right on that, Scott. At the same time, if you're a high-level nurse, surgical nurse, I don't think it's wrong to say, hey, what would you object to performing that's protected by federal law that you can object to? So it shouldn't be like a question that should be based off whether or not you get the job. It would really be based off, okay, you know, we've got this many people, you know, jobs to fill. These procedures, like it or not, are legal. So I think you can certainly probably ask the question, and definitely in an interview, especially if you're the higher level you are, if you're just starting out, asserting this law, it may be the first time that hospital administrator, that hire, actually even knows about this law. You know, they're kind of just hiring people, trying to fill positions. So I think what has to be clear here is that we have to make the conscience protection very, very, I say, broadly understood by the medical community, and specifically than inside the hospitals that do this, that would even do the abortion procedures, and outside of just abortion clinics, because they need to understand what the law is and what the ramifications are for violating it. But we also have to educate, like we already have some, the nurses, doctors, and medical professionals out there, because even though this law existed, it wasn't being enforced.
Yeah, Jordan, it's going to depend a little bit from medical institution to institution, but let me just tie in the HHS rule that we've talked about so much on this broadcast, because it's really applicable here. There's going to be a federal statute, either the Church Amendment that you talked about or the Weldon Amendment. There's a number of others as well that are going to require a pretty broad grant of religious freedom for these officials. Just take the Church Amendment, for example. If you are getting HHS dollars, you actually now have to certify under the rule passed by the Trump administration that you are in compliance with that. Jordan, you have to present a written certification that you are complying. And then if you're not complying, you're going to see an enforcement mechanism by the Civil Rights Office at HHS, like we saw in this case. So just to sort of tie all of it together, that's why it's so important to engage in this rulemaking process, because it frees up the agency when the rule is in place to get rulings like we did today. You're right. The employees themselves have to know. But Jordan, there is going to be greater disclosure because of this recent rule. Yeah. And these institutions, Jordan, they're going to have to start proactively telling the agency how they're complying with these statutes that have been on the book for 50
Scott,
years.
Scott, to answer your question more clearly, now that I've kind of grasped fully what you're getting at, if a hospital was using that question about, do you have anything that you consciously object to doing, like abortion, to screen out applicants, so to effectively decide not to hire someone, that would violate this law. If in the interview, the nurse said, the person being interviewed for the position said, I do have some conscience objections. By the way, they're protected by law, and they weren't hired because of that. That would also violate the law. Now, at some point, there is the right way to handle this at the hospital, Harry, which is that even in Vermont's case, there was a list of those nurses and medical professionals and doctors who had said, I don't perform these procedures because of the conscience rights that I have protected. They had that list. They just weren't. They just violated it.
I think you're right. I think Scott asked a very important question, though. And I think the appropriate answer for the job applicant is probably to answer the question as follows. I will perform and participate in all proceedings wherein I am legally required to participate. And so I think the individual who, for instance, is an applicant for a job could answer such a question because there is indeed legal protection coming from the Church Amendment and perhaps from other laws or rules as well. But I think Scott's point, if I understand his question properly, is the fact that the hospital or other or university might use such a question as a screening device, but they would not be willing to admit that they would use that question as a screening device. And so I think we have to be aware of the fact that there are many individuals out there in the administration. So, for instance, if you look at the Vermont Medical Center, the head of that medical center, as I understand it, was formerly associated with Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood and the leadership of that particular hospital has a particular agenda in terms of promoting abortion, even though that violates the law. So I think Scott's point is well taken.
We're going to take more calls on this HHS win. Let me encourage you, too, as we're talking about Comey, I was just pulling out my new book, which will be out September 24th. You can pre-order it now, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You go to thenextredwave.com, and I really encourage you. We're trying to get to about 1,500 pre-orders, about halfway there, maybe a little bit more. So I'd encourage you, if you could pre-order the book today, that would be great. And I know we talked about Comey in the book. Chapter 6 is The Deep State Swamp Festers as the Virus of Deception Spreads. I go to page 84, and it's about the sham Comey investigation of the Clinton Lynch meeting. I mean, you think about this. Then you go to the next chapter, Chapter 7, Exposing the Den of Vipers, what we're doing about the ACLJ FOIA practice. So in this book, I mean, with all this news about Comey that is coming out and will be coming out with the bigger IG report, you need to order pre-order your copy of The Next Red Wave, which is a path to victory in 2020. But it also, it goes through, I mean, some of the difficulties of holding these kind of individuals like Jim Comey and their associates accountable. It's one thing to fire them. It's the next step to hold them accountable and yet also still get political victory. So I encourage you, go to The Next Red Wave right now, pre-order the book, help us get to that about 1,500 pre-orders before the book is officially available on September 24th. And most of those places too, if you pre-order it now, you'll actually receive it on September 24th in the mail. The full title is The Next Red Wave, How Conservatives Can Beat Leftist Aggression. I know you want to do that. Rhino Betrayal. That's one of the reasons why we didn't defund Planned Parenthood. Republicans in name only. And, of course, what we're talking about with Jim Comey, Deep State Subversion. It's by it's published by Hachette's Center Street, major publisher. Again, thenextredwave.com. Pre-order your copy today, and you'll receive it September 24th. Right on the cover, Sean Hannity did a bigger endorsement for the back, but right on the cover, Sean Hannity wrote, The Next Red Wave is a must-read for anyone who cares about America. So please, I encourage you to check this one out. It's my first book as main author. I have two great co-authors from the ACLJ team with me, Benjamin Sisney and Matthew Clark as well. So check out thenextredwave.com. Folks, we have got a major opportunity, as we've seen today, even with the Comey news. This HHS victory was big. I mean, it broke through even our show. We've got people calling saying my daughter's so much more excited now about the protection she had. We have an aunt who now may be contacting us because she wasn't hired as a surgical nurse because of her conscience objection to performing abortions. We need your financial support to expand this practice inside the ACLJ. It's like a new door is open in the fight for life. Let's make sure we can walk through it with all the resources we need. Donate today. Double the impact of your donation. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you.